Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Yet again, I'm grateful for all of you that might join us tonight, although we will have a somewhat abbreviated show tonight. We typically go 2 hours, but we'll likely go an hour and a half, cut it off a little bit. But nonetheless, we encourage you to join us, 657-383-0944. That is the number to call us in the studio tonight, 657-383-0944. Only thing we ask is that you come prepared to offer a substantive contribution to our dialogue for the evening. And we do have a specific topic tonight again. Just in case you're new to the show, the last few years striving to maintain healthy, wholesome, transformative dialogue, specifically geared at improving the conditions, quality of life for families and children, young people throughout urban America. Okay? Now, naturally, we are concerned about every place in America. However, our specific focus has been on the plight and circumstances that beset urban American neighborhoods, communities, and their families. And so again, tonight we offer a consideration here on a national scale, although we be based right here in Nashville, Tennessee. We're grateful to reach you wherever you are to our platform there on blogtalkradio.com. All right? If you follow us on Facebook, you can feel free again to give me a call here at 657-383-0944. Likewise, if you're tuning in from the podcast platform on Blog Talk Radio, you may do that as well. All right. I hope to hear from Pastor Waller, our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, who has been with us for some years now. And he's an author of two books based on his real practical experience in being challenged by social and even economic ills in an urban American city right here in Nashville, Tennessee. And having been through it and been blessed to learn a lesson that will help particularly wayward young folk who are caught up in negative behaviors of the streets of urban America. Powerful story, and two books are entitled Steel High and the Flip Side. Steel High and the Flip Side. So hopefully he'll be able to join us in a little bit tonight. But tonight we will look at some things here in retrospect. Now, quite often we find ourselves hiding things, making sure that our worst is not seen. On the surface, that seems fairly normal. You know, we're trained to clean ourselves up, put forth our best effort, and make a good first impression, right? But the things that we hide are the things that scare us and make us uneasy and even have a tendency to frustrate us. Well, can I say something? All three of those are natural emotions. Now, we go so far as to try to mask certain realities unrealistically. What do you mean by that, Doc? Well, I'm simply speaking to the fact that quite often, and yours truly have been guilty of it, in an effort to disguise what's real about me, hurt, pain, or disappointment, we want to put on a good face, and we tend not to put on the truth. And it's okay to let things be the truth. It's okay for us to have to face challenge and setback and have to regroup. That's perfectly fine. It don't make you a bad person. But when you go to the point where you're dishonest about where you stand, that's when you start losing your ground. It makes it harder for you to even correct yourself, see, or to improve, because you eventually start being dishonest with yourself and you don't have a point of reference yourself. At least you know if you got knocked down, hey, I'm down. I got to get up. But if you convince yourself, ain't nothing wrong with me, I ain't down, it's all right. I feel pretty good down here. It become problematic, you see. This tends to happen to good people at the most inopportune and oddest of times, when the true person comes out. In the interest of privacy or cover-up, we tend to put on some sort of disguise or mask. We've talked about this before on the show. Now, perhaps it is normal to take protective action, right, and to ensure that our personal things are not shared out in the public, right? We wear clothes so we can cover the reality of our persons, our bodies, right, so we don't cause no problems. And even that line is beginning to be crossed. You know, women tend to spend time before going out in the public. It's commonplace to put makeup on or to style or fix their hair in a certain manner, to choose a certain set of clothing. Look at me. I'm appearing before you with a shirt and a tie and a jacket. Right? I'm not a woman, but I'm a man. And there's a certain persona, a certain image that we want to portray. And the question is that really who we are? So tonight, I want you to join me in a discussion. Can you see me now? Certain realities have been exposed about us all, about our limitations, about our trust level. Even in the religious community, faith has been on trial. My. Faith has been on trial. Interesting thing. When the slightest turn in the economy can affect how society operates and runs and people live their day-by-day lives, and when certain changes are in place, it could literally bring out the best or the worst. It's June 29th, 2021. Question is, can you see me now? Just about a year ago, all across the United States of America in certain major cities that are considered to be urban cores or centers, that was chaos, mayhem, and people wore masks. Many of them did anyway. Some of them hid behind the guise of protests, lawful assembly. And in the end, people lost their businesses. Sadly, lives were lost. Now, it really don't matter to me what political side anyone is on, okay? Whether you are religious or not religious, what I'm speaking to tonight is that something about us as a nation has been revealed. It's been exposed that there's a certain temperament or mindset, what they call the flyover states or rural or country areas or southern areas, right? There's a particular mindset in terms of how people are governed in those areas. And in urban centers, of course, up north and out west, it was determined that there's a different mindset, different motivation, a different drive. But tonight we speak from the topic again. Can you see me now? Consider the seventh chapter, verse 18 through 20. I think there is an apropos message to what we are speaking of tonight. Verse 18 in the seventh chapter of Matthew says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Simple enough, right? Verse 19 says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Lastly, verse 20 says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, what that got to do with can you see me now? All right. What the text says in verse 18, it is impossible, good tree. Now, what makes the tree good? What are the qualities that makes it good? A tree brings forth fruit, and the fruit is useful in the ecosystem, either to be eaten or to regenerate itself. Okay? And if this fruit that comes from this tree is bad or evil or not useful, the tree has little use and purpose in the ecosystem. Are you with me? So a good tree cannot, by virtue that is good, bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree, a bad tree, produce anything that is good. One lesson that is important in 2021 and beyond the rest of our lives to teach our young folk is that you cannot justify wrong with wrong. It doesn't matter how much you feel as though you've been aggrieved or actually have been aggrieved. Two wrongs will never make a right. Oh, you can stand and hide behind a cause, a figure, an image. It still doesn't justify. Can you see me now? Then the text goes on to say, every tree that bringeth not good fruit, there's a place for it. There is a place for it. And specifically, I'm alluding to my brothers and sisters who get caught up and who justify criminal acts and behaviors. The problem with it is that by definition, crime in our society is defined as some sort of offense towards society, the general population. We come up with rules, regulations, and laws that govern us all. and we all should abide by them in the interest of peace and harmony and tranquility in our communities, in our societies. These are lessons that ideally are taught early on in the family context, to have respect for other space, for other peoples, for others' things, and to have a common bond with everyone else to the extent that is possible. Right? So every tree that, let's put it in context, every person that is not serving, upholding, and maintaining peace and harmony in our society, we've created a place for them to be extracted. When you commit a crime, when you break a sentence, you have due process of the law. And that's to determine that you, in fact, did or did not do it, and that you should either go free or should be held to account. Right? But there is a place for those people who are dangerous, who are vicious, who are destructive in our society. Other folk going about their business, working, trying to live, be happy, and contribute, have to worry about folk who want to rob them, who want to assault them, who want to steal from them, who want to tear up and disrupt. There's a place for you. So you keep others from wanting to have to take you out. We're about to come upon something that I do share some of the concern that I hear about, and that's a new law in the state of Tennessee that permits anyone that is 21 or older to carry a firearm, concealed or unconcealed, loaded. Can you imagine when people are amongst one another and you've got individuals whose minds are not right? We haven't determined them yet. See, what the law didn't do is identify who was stable enough, who was equipped and adept enough to handle a firearm or weapon. That's the part that concerns me. And we had an incident, I think it was early this week, where a gentleman discharged his weapon at another person and said it was self-defense. Already started. But my concern is that we may have people unjustifiably engaging in things where, in other words, and under other pretenses, they would have thought about their actions. See, trained in gun class that you do not discharge a weapon unless you're intending to hit your target. Not to scare nobody off, not to make a point, but unless you are really in danger, you really fear that your life is in imminent danger of loss. That's when you, it's going to get murky, I'm concerned. I would hope that all of us, starting with myself, would have dialogue and communication, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, about how we show more respect, show more love, show more compassion for one another. I believe that that will help quell some of the difference. When you see some of the frictions and the tensions from political stance and social identities and what have you over the last year or so, then heightened, it factors in. And understandably, there are people who, look, I don't want to be nobody's victim, and I don't want to have to wrestle with you. I get that. If you come to me and you disrupt my peace and you threaten me, I want to be able to defend myself and not have to worry about the criminal justice, because I'm not a criminal. And I didn't invite you to invade me, but I want to protect what's mine. I perfectly understand that. That's the other side of the coin. That part I do get, that you shouldn't be left defenseless. Again, I'll go back to the question. Can you see me now? See, we all show ourselves. I may not be the best looking. Okay. All right. I'll accept that. But you understand what I'm saying? I am who I am. I'm my father's and my mother's child. That is what it is. Beloved, all I'm saying is that there is an opportunity for us all to really assess ourselves and to make a contribution to humanity in a way that we love our neighbors. if we would want to be loved ourselves. I believe that that will cut it. Now, there are some people who are struggling. There are some people whose lives have been upended. I get it. And there are some people for a long time that have been in that state, right? They're miserable. They're frustrated. I get it. We need to love them as well. There has to be some line. Some line. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what we want to focus on in our Talking Straight tonight. Can you see me now? Folks have put on disguise. What is a disguise, Doctor? A mask. You know, the word derives from the word masque, right? And you know mascara. I told you about ladies putting it on and what have you. Well, what are they trying to hide? I don't mean no offense, ladies. Sometimes they're trying to hide the unevenness of their skin tone and color, a few wrinkles, and you understand what I'm saying, and scars and things of that nature. And that's all right. I believe you're naturally beautiful myself. God made you beautiful. No matter what has happened to you, where you've been, what you've been through, you still look good to me. You ain't got to hide. Come on with it. But I understand that people go out of their way. I try to keep my head calm, you understand, and look neat and decent when you're among people and you're doing business and you're socializing, good hygiene and things like that. That's in order. But specifically, this mask is a covering intended to hide something. Now, what you hiding for? Are you that uncomfortable with who you are that you gotta hide? I've always said to my children, if you're engaging in a behavior that you're so ashamed of and you don't want nobody to see it or know it, don't do it. Be man or woman enough to own who you are and what you do. Now, that's sometimes lonely. Oftentimes, people don't understand that. But if it's that bad that you gotta hide and cover it up, don't do it. Feel guilty and all you carry that weight on, just forget about it. Huh? Or do it and live with the consequences that come with it. It's not too hard either. Can you see me now? Can you see me? Hiding things through a mask or some sort of disguise. In 1971, a Motown group called themselves the Temptations. I believe it was Brother Otis Williams, Paul Williams, Eddie Kendricks, a guy named Melvin Franklin, and Dennis Edwards, they were part of it. They had several different people singing with the group over the time. Those were the well-known people. And some of the lyrics to their song titled Smiling Faces said, sometimes they pretend to be your friend. Putting on. Hide. Huh? Smiling faces show no trace of the evil that lurks within. They say, smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell you, beloved, the truth. These smiling faces. Now, I'm one that do a lot of smiling. I've had a guy walk up and he said, why are you so happy? I said, brother, I don't know what to be mad at. I choose not to be mad. I can be. I can be angry, but I choose not to be. They say that smiling faces tell lies, and they got proof. Some of us got evidence. There's some folk been lying. Help me, Holy Ghost. The truth is in the eyes, because the eyes don't lie. Here's an interesting thing. Even when it comes to facing God, it's difficult for many of us because we have a hard time really standing and facing the man and the woman in the mirror. How do you think you can stand before your brother and your sister in society or stand before just God if you're uncomfortable with the natural image and likeness of who you are? Let me pause right there. Let this How can you face your brother and your sister? It doesn't matter if they what you call white or black. How can you even face just God of heaven, Yahweh Elohim, if, beloved, you can't stand to see your own image in the mirror? Put on a smile, put on a mask or something to cover that up. Here's the thing. There are various roles that people engage in and things that they do to cover up their inadequacies and to make it seem as though things are better than what they are. Now, as I said earlier, if we have shortcomings, that's okay, as long as we're willing to work on them, we're willing to improve. And if I have a shortcoming, I'm not ready and prepared to engage you socially, maybe I should step back, right, and not try to throw myself on you. But when I try to throw myself on you and my stuff ain't together, I cause a problem for both me and you. Can you see what, you understand what I'm saying? Can you see me now? It's 2021, June 29th, 2020. It'll be July the 1st in another day or so, a few hours. Another month will be starting. And what would we have accomplished? I know that COVID shut us down and got us all somewhat debilitated. Even now, people are apprehensive about getting back to the normal stride of their lives. I get it. But, beloved, let me tell you something. If you don't be about, few things are left for you, mainly being about the business of dying. And that is not something I would encourage anyone to do, no matter how bleak, no matter how sad or how tough your situation is. You can find the end of the rainbow. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. Weeping may endure, but for a night. If you can hold out in the forest, in the woods, through the dark of the night, the good news is every day, we learn after the darkness has passed, the dawn of a new day, the sunlight. Help me, Holy Ghost. Come on. Can you see me now? I would hope that our most religious people, and I consider myself to be a religious man, to be a spiritual man, a praying man, an upright man, and I'm talking to myself first and then to you all, I would hope that what we do is we work on refining our inner persons to first be able to be true to our own belief in what we profess and say, and let that be made manifest in our actions, regardless of what you do, right? Now, if Doctor is a low-down junkyard dog, yeah, I would want him to be the very best, but maybe I should consider not being a low-down, dirty junkyard dog, because there's a place for a low-down, dirty junkyard, help me, Holy Ghost, dog. If I make up my mind, that's what I want to be. That's where I have to be, find myself is in that place. In the religious community, it's time for truth, not dogma. COVID friction and shutdown of many churches has revealed that people are now questioning, and I'm telling you from what I know, they are beginning to question the sincerity of those who said they trust God in every situation. God was able to deliver them and heal them from anything. Why? Because it seemed as though the leadership of many, most churches, relented to whatever the health professional said solely, and somehow they put their faith to the side. What faith, Doctor? Are you suggesting, Doctor, are you encouraging people to recklessly ignore the CDC and what the doctors say. No, I'm not at all. They've had great contributions over the years. But guess what? They're absolutely not. They're not the creator of the universe. What they do is because of Elohim, because of God. Who they are is because of Elohim. How they're able to use their research, their experiences, is because of Elohim, just like you and I. They have the same thing you got, the ability to think, reason, and make a decision and a choice. Sometimes we rely on other people who spent more time collecting information and data on certain things that the average person doesn't, right? And we trust them because of the time they committed and dedicated to studying those things. But even when it comes to the preacher, religious leadership, it's necessary that we cut clean and tell folk the truth. Some of the behaviors that we engage in, I said we, are not healthy. Dietary habits, social habits, physical habits are not healthy. They're not productive. And the church, the preacher, that institution should be one of the places that folk who historically have depended on for information to share with them the truth. No mask, no disguise, no sugarcoating the truth. What did Jesus say? 8, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Give it to me just like it is, and let me digest it. I may not be able to swallow it as fast as somebody else. It may even give me heartburn, but let me digest it. Just give it to me like it is. We've seen even in social settings, people change what they said that they were about and who they were, and their true colors came out. We can see just what, if and how there is some sort of political motivation or narrative that drive their function and their purpose. I'm not just talking about the Democrats, I'm talking about Republicans too, people who align themselves, identify themselves as such. And in the middle of it, folk who don't get caught up in all that have to deal with that. And it creates a problem, in my view, for our interaction socially as a nation. I understand that there are two major parties across the United States, and typically that's what people align or attach themselves with. That's going to be what it's going to be until it changes. All I'm saying is that beyond our party, we're all human beings. We're brothers and sisters of humanity. And if we comport ourselves in that way, there are so many things we can get past, so many things we can do together, so many differences we can make for everybody. Now, the truth of the matter is, if I'm hungry and I don't have anything, right, and you got something, you come and you tell me how to acquire what you have, and I'm unwilling to put that work in, I shouldn't be demanding anything from you. No matter what, if I'm black or white or purple. Huh? All right. If we look at the preamble to the U.S. Constitution, it identified some principal things. One of those things was to provide for peace and the tranquility and to the general welfare of everybody, that I believe that will be helpful for us moving forward. Socially, we must deal with one another. You ain't got to be mad at nobody. You do not have to be on edge with yourself or anybody else. A lot of times people just mad at themselves, and they displace that on other folks. But you ain't got to walk around with a chip on your shoulder. Maybe things didn't go right for you. Maybe you don't, sometimes you don't feel like talking to men around. That's fine. That's got to be a good time to kind of stay at home and stay to yourself. You know, do your own little thing there. You know what I mean? And everything be good. But generally, when you're out, you can't be short-tempered and short-fused and snapping and carrying on folks. You never know what kind of day the next person is having. There you go. There goes the conflict. See what I mean? Can you see me now? Can you see me now? Personal mask. There are a lot of people who are very unhappy because they have not identified themselves in terms of purpose and identity. And every day of their life, they're tripping over themselves, trying to emulate someone else, only to come home and realize, hey, and I really don't like that, but I don't know what else or who else to be. I think about the clown in the circus, how popular the clown is, how necessary the clown is to the general circus act, and how it keeps the crowd occupied, moving, live, and focused in the circus activity. The clown makes you laugh, you understand what I'm saying? Makes children happy. But when the circus is over, all the lights are out, everybody's going home, and the clown go back to his changing room and began to dismount his mask, his uniform. And he began to face who he really is. Who is there to make the clown laugh, to entertain the clown, to lift him up, tell him, you all right? My God. What a servant the clown is. But the question is, who's there for the clown? You know, who's there? Who's going to be there when the clown needs them? After all that he's done, or she, to please others, to bring upliftment to them, entertainment, who's there for the clown? The dramatic said something that I believe is key and apropos to what we are speaking of here tonight. And they had a song, I think it was first published around 1968 or 70, something like that. And the title of the dramatic song was "What You See is What You Get." You listen to Talk Straight. This is Reverend Dr. Reuben Docker, your host. The number to call right now, 657-388-0944. Give me a call. Let's talk. You follow me on Facebook. Don't give me a call. Don't hack. You can see me. Can you see me now? Come on. Give me a call. 657-388-0944.
Some people have hearts of stone. Some people are to the good. I've made it. I'm for real. I'm as real as real can get. If what you're looking for is real loving, then what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. Is what you get. What you see is what you get. Is what you get. What you get. Better what you see is what you get. Now baby, I don't need you. You got the best thing yet.
This is dramatic. This is what they're saying. What you see is what you're going to get. Sometimes we don't know that people see our real self, and we're prepared for them to get
them.
Get right. That's it. That's all I want to do. Love you, my that I was able to learn a few things from talking to y'all. Yeah, I've discovered some things just from hearing from you all. Grown a few inches taller. You understand what I'm saying? Gotten a few inches taller. And so, having said that, we find ourselves in a position where it's through our dialogue, wholesome, healthy dialogue, and it's through our efforts, our deliberate effort to come together, that we can make the greatest difference. See, we often talk about young people, but I'm going to say to you tonight, it's not just the young people that need to consider certain things, but the older folk that they look forward to. It's an interesting dynamic where it seems as though there's a lack of respect for elders on a certain, this present generation, right? But then you have to ask yourself, where was the teaching for such respect? Where is the modeling for that respect? Where and how then do we demonstrate to our babies corrective behavior for them? We're joined by our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. I'm sure he's out there on the beat. Welcome, sir. Can you see me now?
All right. What's going on, Pastor Doctor?
Holding in the road, man.
Yeah, man, that's a good thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was asking you that question. You knew who I was before the pandemic and before the change that everybody was forced to deal with. Now that you see me, is there any difference in me, or was I wearing a mask? Can you see me now, Pat?
Right. That's something. That's a question right there, man.
Yes, sir.
Can you see me?
Yes,
now? All right, goodness, man. Does that sound like you asked me to take the mask off or are they still wearing?
I don't know, Pastor. Maybe too ugly. Maybe I need to keep this mask on, huh?
Yeah, you got to watch it, man. See, got to watch it.
You know,
it.
Pastor. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just listening to, you know, what you was about to say, and yeah, go ahead and get it out there so we can see how things are going to be befitting concerning it. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just speaking to, in the monologue, I tried to explain, basically, I was coming from Matthew's the 7th chapter, verse 18, 19, and 20, where it was talking about a tree that essentially you know it based on what it gives you, right?
Yeah.
You don't judge the tree. The tree judges itself, doesn't it?
The tree is known by the fruit it bears.
That's what the text says. That's exactly that, man. You must have been reading that book, man. That's exactly what it said. And so I was at the store, Pastor. I was at Walmart. I was going to grab something for the office there, right? And I was going to run in and run out. And this was the other day. I didn't have a mask, but I had gotten so used to keeping one on my person that for a second I had to turn around and do it. And then I realized, okay, I ain't got to have no mask on. This
sweet
lady, you know, I mean, had me spin around, man. This sweet lady walked past me, and she saw me in my moment of indifference, where I looked like I was startled or confused, and she just kind of looked and frowned, and you know, I didn't want to scare anything, so I can't even remember what I said to her, but it caused her to smile, and Pastor, she stopped, and she took her mask off because she wanted me to see her smile. I said, look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. You are hiding that pretty smile. Why you all be shaming you?
Man, what's causing them to do that?
Yeah. I bring that up, Pastor. I'm gonna give you the floor in just a second. I bring it up because there are some sweet people who really want to move on with life, right? And want to be able to interact and socialize with people without hesitation and feeling held back, right? And bless her heart. I hope I made her feel comfortable enough that day. And she didn't understand why I was jumping and turning and what have you, but I hope at the end that she felt good about showing a smile. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor. Talk to me, people. Talk to me.
Well, it's sometimes, you know, when you get out to something that's changeable, and it changes, sometimes it shocks people that it changed suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing for a substantial amount of time is going on, and then suddenly a change takes place, and sometimes it's hard to adjust to the change that that they have to go back to. Though some people still, you know, are dealing with it with fear, you know, things like that. So it's
right.
A sad situation. It's being
you know,
dealt
you
with.
Can, that's right.
Yeah.
That's it. Pastor, we've been taught that you're a chump or something wrong with you if you show fear. Or you understand what I'm saying? You in any way put on that you're fretful. Is that unnatural to be afraid, Pastor, of something?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a question that I'm surely you know, unable to say whether people should be walking in fear or should not.
Mm.
So it's just a matter of choice now. It boils down to the choice. That's what it all boils down to.
Some people
just choose to do one or the other. And if you survey on the percentage, I don't know, it'd probably be shocking though. Because out in the real world, there's a lot going on there. A lot of people don't feel
it really
they don't have that.
Right.
Because it's hard to fear something when you know.
Wait a minute now. Talk to me, preacher. Don't leave me out there like that. Explain it to me like a three-year-old. You said it's hard to hear something when you're numb. What? Say what?
Yeah, that's just the way it is. It's not the same. It's not the same. I mean, from my own experience, and just you know, I didn't walk in it because it wasn't something that you know was popular.
Mm.
So when it came up at maybe at that time or something, but just automatically just walking in fear, no. I look at my actions, I can tell I was not walking in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And was I insane? They asked that question, was I insane? Yeah, plumb out of my mind. But the fear thing is just you know, if you don't even know what's going on, you know, it's hard to walk in it, man, genuine. Then when I became aware of it, then that's when it really kicked in, like, man, that's pretty deep, man.
Wow. Pastor, listen to what the writer in Proverbs, 9th chapter, said about fear. Sometimes people think that it's cowardice, right? And it's beneath manhood to have a fear of something, right? I ain't scared of nothing or nobody. Ride, slide, or crawl. Listen to what the writer says. Proverbs, the 9th chapter and 10th verse, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, I said, let me put a pin right there, man. Let me put a pin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. Do you know how many young cats who have died ahead of their time, Pastor, that if they had known that by fearing Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God of creation, and stopping to be guided by him, they were still on his side, man. Do you know how many young cats who wanted to prove how bad they were and that they can handle themselves, they can hold down ground, man? Can you appreciate that, Pastor?
Mm-hmm. That's tough, man.
Yeah.
See, they find ways and means to deal with things. You know, it's like I said, the world has so much to present.
That's right.
Away, both young and of age.
Wow.
And I think they're getting ready to change up some things. And I heard, I don't know how true it is, in the beginning of July.
I talked about that. That's right. And I shared that my misgivings with it. I see two sides of it, but in the end, I think it can potentially, we already had an incident out this way in Antioch, on Bell Road. Yeah, a gentleman shot a cat, and he stood there and waited on the police and told him it was self-defense. Now, I don't know what happened with it. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. They had some sort of confrontation, disagreement or something. I didn't get the impression that they knew each other, but something was happening. Hey, you understand? Last I understood, I don't know if the gentleman speaks that was shot, but I'm just saying that's going to lead to some stuff, man. And you understand what I'm saying? And that is something that concerns me first. But there's a flip side to it. Uh-oh, there you go right there. There's a flip side to that argument, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be something to it. Got to be something to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking, though, Pastor, about if we all made up in our mind that we were not going to come with pre-thoughts or pretext of what other people, who they are and what they're about and that sort of thing. But we're going to come as brothers and brotherly love and sisterly love, that will get us somewhere, you know, irregardless of what your ethnicity is, how much money you got, out of town you come from and things of that nature. What do you think about that? You think that's real or is that just some fairy tale stuff?
I might say just real or fairy tale. Yeah, man, it's a hard situation. Like I say, I don't really know how to approach something that I haven't had that experience in. But overall, I mean, life, you know, has a profound order, and then not everybody knows the profound order. And that's the thing about me. I can admit I didn't know the profound order. That order is so unique that I didn't have no clue of it, so I had to do my own thing.
Right.
I mean, that's what's happening in the world.
Yeah. I mean, so if you got us all in the room, we were all forced in the room together, Pastor. And we had to talk to one another. You understand what I'm saying? Can you just sit there and mean mug the next man and look ugly and don't say nothing to me? I ain't trying to, you know what I mean? And sometimes we don't feel like talking, do we? Can you believe that about a big mouth like me? Sometimes you don't feel like talking. You know what I mean?
Right.
But in the interest of peace and harmony, maybe I'm just too idealistic. Maybe it was a pipe dream of mine. I don't know. Help me out, Pastor. You know better than that. you know this thing better than I do, man. Help me out.
Yeah. Well, it's just as I say, man, it's the most valuable most valuable tool. When you don't know something, you just don't know it. And if you seek and find out, you know, it'll help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that. So, man, it's just overall interesting. Very, very, very interesting to see how they come up with so many other, I would say, tools to work with. When I say tools, that's what they become.
Mm-hmm.
And when they become a tool, man, it's going to be too hard to handle.
Mm. You say when it become a tool, it'll be too hard to handle?
Yeah.
Help me understand a little bit better.
Okay, when you're dealing with issues, I'm talking about just if it's to have the advantage of me, anything that is to have the advantage over me, it become a tool against me. And if I don't know how to deal with it, then it's got me coming out the gate.
I see. Okay. So it can become a stumbling block. That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to do that.
Okay. Now, you know, they're already out, and I think the schools are going to, this week is the last week, if I'm not mistaken, that they're going to have open schools, for better or for worse. And so that means more young folk are going to be out of school on the streets and what have you. And what concerns me, and I put myself in that mess, is that I'm not sure if, as a community, we are prepared to manage that energy that would be in the street. Am I making any sense?
Oh, well, yeah, that's what it is. School is going to be out.
Right.
Matter of fact, school is already out when it comes down to that.
Yeah. A lot of people are, some of them, are, you know, they tapped out anyway.
Got some school, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And they can call it a lot of things. One thing I know for sure, they sure don't know how to come up with something else.
Well, and so here's the dynamics of all that. You know, they say, well, they're not with the teachers, they're not in the school setting, then it's up to the parents to manage the children's time, right, to keep them focused and out of trouble. All right. Well, how's that been working? How that's going to work? How has that been working? And how prepared are we as a community to make sure the parents have what they need and equipped and what have you, to make sure the babies have what they need so they can, you understand what I'm saying? How's that going to work, man? How's that going to work?
Well, there you go, right?
I got somebody on that I know can tell. I know they can tell me. You know that sweet lady they call Mama D out of Peoria, Illinois? You know her?
I bet she
can tell me. I bet she can answer that for me. Why don't you say hello to her? Why don't you welcome to the show, buddy? Can you hear me?
I hear something else in the background. What did you just say again?
Okay. I wanted you to welcome Mama D, 8112, to the show. And now I think that was Don joining us.
Yeah. Okay. 8112, how you doing?
Fabulous. How are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, sounding
great.
Sounding good. Doing good. Thank you.
All right.
We want to welcome you to the show. I know you're doing it exceedingly well, so we want you to come in and talk to us, let us know. The reason why you said it that way, it sounds like you said it with a lot of authority.
Really? I take charge of the things that I'm doing. I try to anyway.
That's good. Praise God for you.
Yes, sir, but I appreciate being on here. I'm going to sit back and listen to the show. If I figure I want to do something, then I'll say it.
Okay, well, we're talking, by the way, and then let me welcome Don from Sam. We're talking from the topic, Can You See Me Now? And I introduced that topic from the frame that there were a lot of us wearing masks, a lot of us basically hunkered down in houses and away from one another, and now we're out seeing one another. And I asked Pastor Waller, do I look like the same cat before the shutdown? Am I the same person now that I was, you know what I'm saying, before the shutdown? Or do I look different, you know what I mean? And he told me, I'm trying to sum up what he said. It don't sound like I look any better. So, I mean, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm picking.
I got you, brother. Yes, sir. You know how that thing go, man. You know, I was telling the 8112 to get used to being a straight way for so long, and all of a sudden they switch it back. And, you know, you lose all knowledge about how it was 30 minutes ago.
But what I figured, what I thought about was the fact that people walking around, they got all this junk on their face. It used to be only robbers that they put that stuff on their face.
Yeah.
And I understood to protect ourselves from some of the things they put, whoever put whatever in the air and the environment. But at the same time, it hides that glow of your smile.
You better say that as well.
And I was thinking, people can't, they think you all upset and everything. Can't nobody see you smile? People weren't able to smile because they nose covered. They breathing in their own toxins. And some people got medical conditions, can barely breathe already. Their whole face is covered, half of it except their eyeballs, covered up with these big masks on. To try to protect ourselves. And now folks got their vaccine. Now they find out they got to get another. There's another strain going on. So what the hell? I mean, God going to take
you. When you going to trust God? Hey, 12, when we going to start trusting God now? When we gonna
baby. And he's taking care of me. And if I had the COVID, I ain't know nothing about it.
When we going to believe that he's yet able? He's still in charge.
Regardless of what man say, they're going to destroy their own self anyway. That's what they're doing.
There you go.
I want you to be happy. Don't nobody know that you're happy.
Now they're hiding your smile.
What?
Yeah, now they're hiding that joy that you may have in your heart.
And we
bring out that joy a lot of time with acts of kindness and our smile. People used to say a smile is worth a thousand words. I had a pretty smile. I ain't got all that now, but I still a smile.
All right. And it don't cost you nothing to it.
It don't cost you me nothing. I'd rather smile to be frowned up all the time. That makes your face wrinkle up and everything.
Smiling faces sometimes tell lies.
And that's true, too. That's true, too. But guess what? Him that smiled in your face and stabbed you in your back was done in the dark will come to light one day.
Let me bring Don in. Don, I was in office, Matt.
Don, sorry.
She said, hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
So, Don, I was in
Imperial,
office,
Illinois.
I'm sorry, Reverend Pastor. I'm sorry. I'm doing all right by the grace of God. I got to get the glory to Him, and that's no lie because I've been decorating my little yard, waiting on one of my brothers to come for his wife. So I like to look at my stuff that I set out there, my little hard work. So that's what I've been doing today.
better watch yourself. I can see you, girl. I see you now. I see you now. Oh yeah,
mm-hmm.
I see you now.
Mm-hmm.
I see you.
I'm a city girl, but like a country girl.
Uh-oh. Hey Don, what the songwriter say? I'm just a Mississippi girl. I still got mud on my shoes, man. Ain't that but no, I was done. I was saying that I was in Office Max, man, and I was just gonna run there and grab a couple of things. You know what I mean? And so I ran into about four or five people that were total strangers. I didn't have no mask on, Don. And so my natural thing is to speak, say how you doing, and a couple of people smile, you know. So this young brother standing back at a distance, he saw me as I was coming his way, you know. And he looked, and he stopped, he turned around, looked up inside of me and everything. I kept on going. So we got up to the counter together, and he was ahead of me, Don, right? So he's cashing stuff out, and I was just standing there waiting. I wasn't saying nothing then. I was actually thinking about what I need to get done. So he turned around and he says, "Why are you so happy, man?" Now, what should I have told him? What should I have told him, Don? He said, "What are you so happy about?" What should I have told him, Don?
Should have told him I got joy.
You
joy.
Have a right to be happy. I don't see why he turned around and said, "Why are you so happy?"
You got joy down in your heart.
That's right.
I mean,
you have a right to be happy.
I said, "Look here, man, what you want me to be mad at?" So the little girl behind the counter looked, and she was looking at him, looking at me, looking at him, looking at me. He said, I don't know, but you're just so happy. I said, I told him, Don, I decided that of all the things, Don, that frustrate me, that I don't like, and some people I ain't too hot on, I'm not going to be mad, because I can choose to do that, Don. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm in control of that. Or whether or not I'm going to be upset or make myself happy.
Mm-hmm.
Songwriter said, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the self, my God. And I know he watches over." I ain't going to come to preach. Pastor Wall, I ain't going to preach. I'm going to let it alone. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry. You got
it. You all right?
Don, talk to me about, I know you and I talked earlier. Has things got any better than Selma? Any better than
Selma does me a lot. I'm glad I came to Selma from Chicago, being at that political base and coming down here. And I see some of the similarities now. And I see the mechanisms now that they got set up to keep us where we are. I couldn't see it at first, but I see it now.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you go from one location, you see exactly how they got it set up now. And, you know, it's a game that they got set up. It's a game.
You know, we talked about that, Don. And if I might share with the audience some of the what we were talking about, and that is basically, despite what other people well plan or try to do, towards you or against you, you have the power of response and determining what you're going to do for yourself. Would you agree with that statement as well?
Yes.
I certainly agree.
I would agree.
One second, Don.
When you push to a certain point, everyone has a certain point, and if no one asks how's your day, they don't know how your day is going.
That's true. That's
and
true.
If you ask someone to back up off me and they continue, then they get what they get is the way I see it.
What?
Because I asked you.
Wait a minute, 12. Wait a minute now, 12. You're too sweet for that now. Hold on now.
Well, you know, they say there's a thin line between love and hate.
Watch it now.
So,
that was a song. Yeah.
And if you love me, you will respect me enough to do as I ask you not to do something that's going to agitate, aggravate, or pee me off.
Right.
And I
know
I'm supposed to not give anyone a remote control to that part of me, but I'm only human, and sometimes I have my bad days, too.
Sure. Now, what were you going to say about that, big brother? Would you agree with that, Don, in principle, that, hey, that remote. I like the way she put that. Control the, keep that remote control, man. What do you think about that, Don?
Well, Mr. Docker, you know, like I said, you know, we were you were talking about earlier social engineering, and that's what's been going on. And the miseducating our people. You know what I'm saying? So that's been going on. I can see that now. See it even clearer. At 61, I can really see it. You know, when you're young, you don't see. But when you get older, you really see how they got the mechanism set up to a misinformed. And like you said, self-destruct too. You know, they got the mechanism set up where you self-destruct. All this murder you see, the young guys chose to get off into that.
Wow.
See, that's what you chose. You know what I'm saying? But the mechanism was already set up for you to self-destruct. And so you get off into their mechanism, and you self-destruct in their mechanism. You think you're doing something big, but it's something that somebody already has set up for you to self-destruct.
Right. And Don, that is the driving force behind the school that I put together, and we're working now to be able to fund it and not have to back up. You understand? And it's a big, that's not a small task, you know. 12 would ask me, how's it going? It's not a small task. What's more important is that when we start 12, we don't have to disappoint the babies by shutting it down because we can't keep it going. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of it has to do with educating and empowering parents that make up those communities as to how they can keep such a thing going. You know, it takes money. Is that right, Pastor Wallace? It takes money to serve. It ain't. Pastor been doing it for years. He ain't need no money. He don't need no money. I'm gonna tell a story, Pastor.
That's what they'll say about me. I know.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, they don't need no money.
But in reality, even though, Don, when we don't have cash in hand, the need is so great that we do what we can. But there are times that it's best, if you really can't help them, not to put them out there in the middle of the water. You understand what I'm saying? If you can't teach them how to swim, don't put them out in the middle of the water. Let's get somebody else that are more skilled. You understand what I'm saying? To address that.
That's
I know
right.
you people they mean well, but don't put nobody out there if you're going to set them up to fail or to fall on their face. That's worse than.
That's right.
At least they standing up, walking backwards, done. But when you get through, they fall flat on their face. You understand what I mean? So, and I know you have a passion for that. You see a lot of things, and you often speak at the age that you are, how you want to see some of the transformation, some of the change, you know. And that's why I asked the question, and not so much me, but in general, do we still see the same people that we knew before everything was shut down, everybody was running the house, in hiding, essentially? Country as a whole was in hiding. Most people were anyway. Now that you're coming out, do you still know? Are these still the same folks you used to know? Preachers, teachers, politicians, business owners. You understand what I'm saying? Are we real? Is this live remembrance? There you go.
And I can commemorate.
It's
memorized, Mr. Dunn. Hey, you know what? You know, that's when I said I'm glad I came to Selma because now I see it's memorized. You know, you pick the leadership. You know, they come and pick our leadership, and we go for it instead of us doing our own research and investigating our own community. You know what I'm saying? So they pick our leaders, and we thinking these leaders is right, but what you come to find out, them leaders, some ignorant-ass people, even though they got PhDs or whatever. They've been educated in the European way. Yeah.
You're stepping on my toes, Mr.
Dockery, I'm going to say it again. Benjamin Turner Mark ain't up in Selma. So that means that the leadership is corrupt and illegal. Long as Mark ain't up, You can be mayor, you can be congressman, you can be state rep, but you're breaking the law.
John, let me see.
See, there's a, you remember there's an order.
Right, right. Let me show you.
Right, and when you don't respect order, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, you're going to have a problem. It shouldn't matter that he's a Caucasian, but a Caucasian man came into my office today to get a quote for a policy, right? And where I am, I intentionally moved to an area that has some challenges, you know. And so we were just talking, and in the conversation, he learned, Don, that I had run for office and things of that nature. And he started describing a certain set of problems that I was very familiar with. He said, now, what would you do about it? Well, how are you going to fix that one? And I said, well, look, it's not, you were talking about leaders, Don. It's not a task for just one person, but there's work for us all to do. And a real leader understands you can't do it all by yourself, but you have to be able mm-hmm. to place people in their best places to make a contribution. That don't make sense to you, Don, does it, Don? Don?
Huh?
Can you hear me, brother? Can you
hear me? Look,
yeah, I can hear you. I was asking you, does that make sense to you? That really what leadership
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it, Mr. Darby, you know, I look at it today, people are where they need to be. You know what I'm saying? And God got those people where they need to be. So that knowledge that they need to receive, them the ones that need to receive. Because they mm-hmm. are the ones that are there at that moment. So that's
okay.
what I look at.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was your thought on that in terms of sometimes we assume that a leader has to take over and run everything, but an effective leader knows how to tap into other people's skills and let them, you know what I mean, shine. What do you think about that, 12?
Now, repeat part of that again to me about the media.
No, leaders.
Oh, leaders.
A leader. Don was talking about the leadership being substandard, right? And I was saying that really we oftentimes people look to the leader to do everything, to run everything. But I was simply making the statement that effective leader understands how not to try to do it all, but to empower people and place them to where they can be a part of the team. I was asking what's your thought on that concept.
Okay. See, me, y'all speak in politics. I don't do that.
Okay.
As far as
all
the
right.
leader
well,
go, God is my leader. I well, don't follow very many men or women, period.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
I do what I feel is right in my heart. And if I did something wrong, I had to ask for forgiveness. So that's my leader. Outside of that, people going to be people now. Let's get it right. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of these
mm-hmm.
people out here are crooked.
What?
Not everybody. And they call leaders, really? All right now.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
that's
how I feel. That's my opinion.
No, I know. I asked you. You gave it to me. You're talking straight now. You're talking straight. Look, it's funny you say that. When I first ran, my brother expressed his concern about me running. I said, well, what's wrong? He said, I don't want you to go to jail. Pastor Watson. I said, what makes you think I got to go? He said, well, you know, politicians ain't nothing but lies and crooks, and they steal. I said, well, no, I'm not a politician. And I hear what you're saying. I've seen a lot of those, too, but like you, 12, I'm not that. That's not what I'm, you know, I ain't never be no crook or a steal or nothing. I'm there to serve, and that's part of the problem. We need more public servants.
Yeah, maybe some of us, including myself, have the wrong misconception about it. But
oh,
I don't look at human beings as my leader. I was always taught be the leader, not the follower.
Wow. Okay. Well, see, Pastor Waller, we're going to keep our eye on her, ain't we? Because she said be the leader.
She came to talk, man, and I believe that's what it's going to take for somebody to know, you know, what they stand for. And then when you talk about what you said earlier about politicians and, you know, and then she's just being honest with the way she feels about it.
She's right,
She's
right.
She sum it up by way of being honest about it, then it'll be presented like she said. She said, hey, look here, I talked. So I like that. I understood it. I understood the language a lot better because I said years ago, so I didn't know who the president was. He didn't phase me. No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, not the way I had been treated, you know, not the way I had been treated. And like I said, I don't knock none of them what they do. I just say the way I was treated, the way my parents was treated, you know what I mean, and all she dealt with, man, I still feel bad when I even think about it, you know.
Wow.
So I like what she said, what 81 Sarah said, you know, have a little talk with God, and that's a respectable thing to do.
Sure.
Now, it'd be great if more people would even say that, you know, just a little talk, you know, with them. So
well,
I'm make everything off.
And I believe that there's a biblical support for that thought that she offered in terms of everybody assuming leadership. Now, of course, we all can't drive a car at the same time, right? And we all can't go through one door at the same time. But when everybody responsibly thinks to share the space, wait their turn, and love your brother like you love yourself, guess what? That's leadership. Take care of your responsibility, maintain yourself, and don't let nobody else make a fool out of you. That's leadership right there. Huh? You know, a lot of people do a lot of talking, and they talking loud, but they ain't saying nothing. They ain't saying nothing. You know, it's like I like the way James Brown put it. He says, it's like a dull knife, just ain't cut.
Yeah, just have glue in my hair.
Talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. But, you know, we're speaking from the topic, can you see me now? Here I am, the man right here. We're moving forward now. Can you see me? And
they
what do people
come
see?
Up here.
What do people see? Huh? 12, were you saying something?
Uh-uh, dear. I'm sorry. I was, no.
Okay. All right. We were scheduled to wrap up early tonight. I have to go and do some more work before I go into the office in the morning. So, Pastor Wallace, if you want to, lead our discussion from this point. We got another 30 minutes. Do you have anything in particular, Pastor, that you want to lead in our discussion here? And then I could, and then we can wrap up for tonight. I'll need to turn my attention to some paperwork.
Well, yeah, I'm right here on the street, though. So you know, I'm fine. I enjoy whatever amount that we have had a chance to embrace. You know, it's always good to hear good information, no matter
Absolutely.
How much time it is. It's good to hear it, man. So
right.
That's a great thing. I know you got things you got to do, got to get some things done. And 8112, I mean, she came in and again, she do what she does best. She tell it like it is, you know, what's from the heart,
well,
what we start.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Don, he's sitting on the line.
Yeah, Don, you
sir?
Still that big brother?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah,
okay.
Man. You know, I heard what you said, Brother Don. You know, it's very inspiring, you know, to hear truth. The truth is what makes us free. And, you know, once we get a little bit more knowledge of that, it can be a game changer. Just a little bit more knowledge. You don't have to have a whole lot of it. Sometimes just a little go a long way. So I'm going to yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor. It's just words they want us two or three gathered together on this. We're not talking about putting on for tomorrow, for what we can do today. You know,
right.
Include him today. Have a little talk
yeah.
with him like 81 was talking about, man. Make sure everything all right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, guys, I'll take a final thought from you, Don. Thank you for joining us, man. And 8112, we appreciate you as well. Final thought before we wrap up tonight?
I just want you guys to stay safe during this holiday weekend. Still keep your guards up there somewhat. However, I love you guys, and I appreciate you guys as well.
Okay. Can I tell you something before you go?
Yes,
can I
sir.
Tell you something for you? I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
I ain't going to try. All right, now. Ain't nothing I'm supposed to do but receive it.
Watch
yeah,
it,
that's
watch
it.
It.
Good enough.
All right. We snowball it to you, Don. Thank you, 12. We appreciate you. Don, give us a final word before we get out of here, man.
Mr. Darker, don't get better, and it's just the process,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's like this, too, you know, like I said, I'm getting older now. You come to understand what you have to pass it on to the next generation. You know what I'm
wow.
saying? You can't take it to the grave with you. You have to take pass it on to the next generation. So.
Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah.
So true. Okay. Well, thank you, brother. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pastor Wells,
mm-hmm.
want to take us home, man, and wrap us up for tonight?
Hey, man. That's good, man. I thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk and for those who were just listening. About what I heard thus far is that it has a lot to do with the truth. And Jesus himself
mm-hmm.
says, I am the way,
mm-hmm.
the truth, and the life. He said,
mm-hmm.
no man cometh to the Father but by me. In other
yep,
words, he's saying, if you get hooked up with him, the only way you can do it, you got to come by me. It's amazing how one could believe that or not. And that's the reason why it's good to say, choose you this day who you will serve. Oh, what a difference a day makes. Because a person could change in a moment, of an eye. And I say that again, a person can change very quick in a twinkling of an eye. No matter what you have done in your life, no matter what you're doing right now or getting ready to do, if you have a desire to follow him, he continues to tell us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe that you can hook up with him, you can start right here, right now.
On
that note, Pastor God, a year back to you. Because someone
right.
just may believe that and take a chance.
Amen. All right. We'll look forward to Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m., for a full 2 hours to join you all on Talk Straight here. On behalf of our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, this is your host, Reverend Doctor. Grateful to have each of you, and we'll see you Thursday night.
must be done.